The Lord is faithful. Well, we're going to pray and just prepare our heart for the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, I know that you are always faithful, Lord, and you are merciful and mighty. And so, Father, I just pray that you would do a work in our hearts in this service tonight, Lord, that only the Holy Spirit can do. Lord, apart from you, we can do nothing. How desperately we need you, Lord. We need your touch, your anointing. Lord, we ask you that you have your way in this service. I pray, Father, that every heart would be open and receptive to the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, tonight I'm going to share with you a message that I believe is something that every Christian needs to carry in their heart. It is, I guess, a big part of the message of Jesus in the Gospels. It is come and go. He invites us to come, and then he commands us to go. It's a come and go thing. You know, that phrase is usually used when you're referring to a party or celebration where you don't have to be there at a set time. It's just kind of come and go thing. And you know what? Some people kind of have that attitude about church and maybe even the things of God. You know, you just drop in and no real commitment, no real involvement. Just stop by, drop off some guilt and get, you know, maybe get a few blessings in your life and then get on with your life. But so that's not the message tonight, just in case you were wondering. Jesus invites all to come. The grace, the salvation that he freely gives is offered to whosoever will. We need to always know that. It is for whosoever will. There are some religious devils that are propagating this idea that only certain people can be saved. But the Bible says not once or twice, but many times, whosoever will. And I tell you, Jesus extends this invitation to everybody that will believe. He invites all to come. He doesn't exclude anybody. John 7:37 and 38, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, now, just think about this. Jesus is crying out. It's with a loud voice. He's crying out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Says anybody thirsty? Anyone thirsty? I want to tell you, everybody is thirsty. Everybody in this world has a longing on the inside that only Jesus can satisfy. And he invites all to come and drink, to receive living water. There's people that are searching. They don't even know what they're looking for. They just are looking for more. He says, come to me. Think about that. All these people doing all kinds of crazy things, people taking drugs and people just running after success and trying to find fulfillment and some pleasure. All of that, Jesus is saying to those people, come to me. Come to me. He is inviting them to find in him that which truly satisfies, that emptiness that only he can fill. They think just a little more, just a little further, around the next corner, and yet they're never really satisfied. And Jesus calls to them, says, come to me. You know, we understand that, but it shouldn't be that there are believers that look to the things of the world to satisfy. When Jesus says, if you're thirsty, come to me. In Jeremiah 2:13, it says, my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. That's one. The second evil, he says, and they've hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, I know what a cistern is because I'm a little bit of a country boy, but if you don't know, a cistern was just a man-made reservoir to catch runoff water. And he says, instead of having the living water, these people have dug out for themselves broken cisterns that don't even hold water. And I'm telling you that when a believer looks to the things of the world to satisfy, oh, it's not just one evil, it's two evils. That we forsake the living water and then look to the... Who wants to drink old stale, nasty runoff water when you could have fresh water, living water? But so many people seem to get distracted by it. I just want you to know he wants us to come to him, and him alone is the one that satisfies the longings of our heart, that truly meets the needs in our lives. He's the only one that can fulfill us. Not a career, not success, not another person, not some form of entertainment or pleasure. He says, come to me. Jesus tells a parable in Luke chapter 14 to show us how much the Father wants people to come to him. Beginning in verse 16 of Luke 14, he says, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I bought five yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, and the lame, and the blind. And the servant said, master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. I want you to know he wants all to come. But sometimes the ones that maybe we think are the likely ones to come, they've all got their excuses. Don't be discouraged by that. He says, go out and find the hurting. Go out and find the needy. Go out and find the ones that are hungry and they know it. I'm just telling you, he wants all to come. He invites us to come. When we are tired and stressed, when we are burdened, when we feel like we're under the weight of the world, he says, come to me. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Wonderful words of Jesus. Come to me. Maybe you need to hear those words tonight. Come to me. That's our loving Savior. We live in a weary, stressed out world. And here is the Lord saying to all that are weary and burdened, he's saying, come to me. What an invitation. He says, and I'll give you rest. Don't we have a message for the world? That there's a Savior that can lift that weight off all of the pressures of life. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. From all walks of life, with every kind of need. Some say Christianity is for the weak and the foolish. I remember when I turned my life over to the Lord, I didn't have to dump my heathen friends. They just didn't invite me anymore. So it was easy for me. But I remember the one who was my best friend before I got saved. He told me that his dad had told him that Christianity was just a crutch for weak people. And I didn't deny that I needed the Lord. Last year, that friend sent a letter to me and a number of other people that told about how that a man at his work had led him to the Lord and discipled him to be a true Christian. But I'm just telling you, we all need Jesus. There's some people that don't know it yet, but we all need him. And he invites us to come, even little children. Matthew 19:14, Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven." He stands with outstretched arms to a broken world, and he says, "Come to me, come to me." He calls us with this invitation. And he calls us to be his disciples. Matthew 4:19, he said to them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." In the NIV, it says, "Come, follow me." I'm telling you, Christian, the same one who says, "Come to me and I'll give you rest," he also says, "Come, follow me." Not asking us to go for a walk, is he? He's asking us to live a different life, to be like him, to live a life of love and serve others. And he says, "Come." He says, "Come to those who call out to him in faith." In Matthew chapter 14, when the disciples are out on a boat on the lake, and he goes walking on the water to them, and Peter sees him. He says, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." And I'm just telling you, you know what? You need to make sure that it's the Lord before you step out of the boat, all right? But to those that are willing to step out in faith, those that want to believe God for great things, you know what? The Lord doesn't say, no, wait a minute. You just stay in the boat, buddy. No, he says, "Come." Come. When we're ready to take a step of faith, to be used of God, to trust him with what we cannot do on our own, he says, "Come." Simple message of Jesus. I'll say it one more time. To a lost and hurting world is come. He says, come when you're sick. He says, come when you've sinned, when you have problems, when you're in trouble, when you have needs, when you're thirsty, when you're burdened down, whatever your weakness, your hurt, your need. He invites us to come. We come to him for healing, for peace, for help, for mercy, for deliverance, for freedom, for protection, provision. He is our source. He is our life. We come to him. We need to hear this now. And we need to come to him every day. Yes, we come to him for salvation. Yes, we come to him when we need deliverance. But we should come to him every day because we need him every day. We just need to be with him every day. But it needs to be intentional on our part that we spend time with the Lord every day. Not only because, well, we just need that, but also because we need to be ready for how he wants to use us. Remember this, prayer is not just about us getting God to do what we want. We're not just going to tell God what he needs to do today. But instead, we go to be with him so we'll know what we need to do today. So we'll be ready for all that he has for us. He says, come to me. But then he also says, go. To his people, to those who have come and received this living water, those that have been healed, those that have been restored, those that have been made whole, he says, now go. He says, go and preach this gospel to the whole world. He says, go and make disciples. He says, go into the highways and the byways. Not everybody, maybe, is called to stand out on the street corner and preach like Brother Ken. But all of us are called to go. We need to have this attitude that we come to him, and oh, how good it is to know him that way, that he takes care of us. But we also go, that every day we're going, that every day he is sending us to the world. We ought to have that expectancy. And I want you to understand what I'm talking about. Listen, it ought to even be in our attitude about coming to church. If one person comes and their life is truly changed, one person comes and gets saved, I'm telling you, that is more powerful, that is more important than however good the music is or how refreshed the rest of us may feel. We need to know this, how important this is to our Heavenly Father, how important this is to Jesus. This ought to be something that we pray about all the time, that we are constantly, y'all getting quiet on me. We should be constantly believing God for people to be saved, for people's lives to be changed. Yes, it's wonderful we just come in and we all just enjoy the Lord and we worship him, but it needs to be a part of our heart that we want to see people saved, born again, lives changed. And so I ask every mature believer to join me in praying for the lost, to come and be born again. Even if you're a baby in Christ, join me in praying for the lost to come and to be born again. Think of those that don't have what you have. Oh, we need to pray for them to come and be born again every day. By the way, one of the ways that you can tell if somebody's truly a mature believer, when you're a mature believer, you care about the lost, you care about the baby Christian more than you do your own self. I got two on the front row that know what I'm talking about. Let me just put it this way. It is far more important to me, no matter who is preaching up here. It doesn't matter who's preaching up here. It's far more important to me that other people get ministered to in this place than me. And I would rather see one new convert than the rest of us just get another teaching. And what I'm saying to you is that if you're a mature Christian, there's going to be times when you hear things that you could just say, oh, well, that's just old hat to me. I've known that for 30 years. But if you're a mature Christian, you don't care because you're praying, I hope that person gets saved today. There's people that have been in church for three times a week for 40 years, and they go to church with the mentality that they need to hear something they never heard, and if they don't, they think they're not getting fed. They're dissatisfied. We ought to be dissatisfied to not see people born again. That ought to be dissatisfying to us. Because, listen, just because with the heart of God, we want to see people saved. We want people to have what we have. Pray the Lord of the harvest, send laborers into the field. That's what Jesus said. So let's be praying in faith and get His involvement in what we're doing. The workers have to go. John 4:31-36, it says, in the meantime, His disciples urged Him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But He said to them, I have food to eat that you don't know of. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought Him anything to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. He challenges us to get a vision for a great harvest, a harvest that is ready. And He's not talking about wheat here. He's talking about people. He's saying, look at the fields, all the people. He just got through telling him, he says, I've got meat that you don't know of. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Jesus missed lunch because He was busy ministering to the Samaritan woman at the well. We need to be that passionate that if we miss lunch, we don't care if we're ministering to somebody. There's more important things than our next meal or my TV show or the football game. I'm preaching good right now. I'm just telling you, we need to have a heart for the loss, a passion for the loss that goes beyond well, if something doesn't come up, if just the right situation falls into my lap, you know, I might. Oh, we need that kind of passion like the Lord had to reach people. Usually when Christians get dissatisfied, they got their eyes on the wrong things. And they're not much involved in ministry. They become dissatisfied with their experience and they blame others, and a lot of time they blame the church. mature believer gets their greatest joy in seeing others come to the Lord. Luke 15:3-7 says, "So he spake this parable to them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." From the beginning of his ministry, Jesus so often relied on others to tell people to come. In John 1:40-46, one of the two heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Think about that. Andrew brought Simon Peter to Jesus. I know it's not always that easy to bring someone to the Lord, but sometimes it is. Well, you don't know if you don't try. But let's just say it's not easy. Let's say it's a lot harder than that. Is it worth it? Is it not worth our effort, even if it's hard? Even if you ask them 15 times? Verse 43, "The following day Jesus went to Galilee and he found Philip and he said to him, Follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We found him who Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, Come and see. Come and see." That's what the woman at the well went back into the city of Samaria and said. She said, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Come see." And you know what? Our responsibility is not whether or not they get saved, whether or not they come. Our responsibility is just to do our part. You see, sometimes that's all we have to do is just say, "Come and see. Come and see." And the Lord does the rest. He gives the increase. If the Lord has taken away your guilt, if he's healed you, if he set you free, if he gave you a peace, if he blessed you, tell somebody this week. He came to seek and to save those that are lost. In the parable of the banquet that we read earlier, you see, when we become his servants, when we're born again, we become the servants in the parable. We once were the ones that needed to be invited, but now we're the servants in the parable who he tells to go out and to bring others in, to bring in the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. The blind. And sometimes I think we get the attitude that, well, you know, if people wanted to come, they would come. But did you know crippled people sometimes needed help? Blind people sometimes need help to get somewhere. But remember the paralytic man whose four friends brought him? I'm just telling you, we need to get rid of that attitude. Well, if they wanted to come, they'd just come. No, we got to help them get here. I mean, if you got to give them a ride, if you got to promise them lunch. But he says, compel them. Compel them to come. In the NIV, it's really plain. It says, make them come in. Well, you can't force somebody to come to the Lord, but we can do our very best to help others find what we found, experience what we have, and know what we know. Let me put it this way to you, though. They won't feel compelled to come if we don't feel compelled to go. If it's so important to us that it really bothers us that they don't come, we might be surprised how often we find a way. Paul wanted to reach the Israelites so bad, he had great sorrow. We need to have sorrow over those that don't know the Lord. Romans 9, 1 through 3, he says, I tell you the truth in Christ, I'm not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. Yeah, this is the same man that says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, and he writes that from prison. But you see, though he was not ever feeling sorry for himself, he had sorrow in his heart for those that didn't know the Lord. Continual grief in my heart. For I could wish, I want to get that in there, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. He doesn't actually say he wished that he was, but he says, I could wish. The desire for them to be saved was so strong that even though it's not possible, his desire was so strong that if he could, he would take their place if it meant their salvation. That's how much he wanted his brethren to be saved. We need that kind of passion for the lost. So I say to you tonight, come. Come and be filled. Come and receive strength. Come and be healed. Come and get your faith strengthened, your burdens lifted. Come and find peace and joy. As Jesus said, come and find rest for your soul. But let's also be going to a world that so needs the Savior. He said, as you go, preach the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. The same one who meets our needs, takes care of us, he tells us to go. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. John 20:21. We've been sent to a lost and hurting world. Not everybody will receive you. Not everybody will appreciate you. But if you go, you'll be the answer to somebody's prayer. They say, oh no, that person, they ain't never been praying. Well, you don't know how long their grandmother's been praying. I'm just telling you, God moves, God works, but he uses his people. And we got to be willing to go where we've been sent. I want to remind you once more of the Great Commission. Matthew 28:18-20. He says, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples. He says, I'm going to be with you to the end of the age. And we call that the Great Commission. And if he gives us a commission, that means we have been commissioned. And what I'm saying by that is that he not only gives us a responsibility, but he gives us an authority. You see, I know the world and even the religious culture says, well, you know what? You need to mind your own business and keep it to yourself. You need to, you know, just kind of be quiet about it and, you know, let people find their own way. It's so crazy in our world that a lot of Christian parents, they're afraid to talk to their kids about the Lord. We'll just let them find their own way. That's not in the Bible. The Bible says you're supposed to teach this book to them diligently. That's what the Bible says. But I'm telling you, they don't know if we don't tell them. And I'm not talking about being pushy. I'm not talking about, you know, trying to force somebody or being silly. You know, some people are just plain ugly about how they present the gospel. I'm not talking about all that goofy stuff, but I'm talking about when you love people and you care about people and you invite them to come and you let them know the Lord loves them. All you need to know that you've been commissioned to do so. Remember Peter and John, the religious people forbid them to talk about Jesus anymore. I said, it's better to obey God than man. And, you know, even if somebody tells you, hey, you can't talk about the Lord, it's better to obey God than man. You've been commissioned to do it. So, tonight, I'm going to make this really simple. I'm not going to ask you for a commitment that you will go. I'm going to leave that between you and God. And I guess this is between you and God too. But I want to ask you to make a commitment to pray for the lost every day. Whether it's just one person, a family member, a neighbor, a coworker that you want saved so they won't be so mean, whatever. But, or if you're praying for just lost people in general, but pray for the lost every day and pray the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the field. That's what Jesus said to pray. And so we need to pray that every day. Lord, send labor, send workers into the field in Jesus' name. We pray that every day. So we're just going to start that tonight. I want you to stand with me, and we're going to do that right now. And if there's a lost person that comes to your mind that you're believing God for, you just pray for them right now as well. But let's pray. Father, I just thank you that you have made the way, you have made provision through the Lord Jesus Christ for whosoever will. And Father, I know that our world is desperately in need. I pray, Father, that the lost will come to Grace Church. I pray, Father, that you'll just bring in hungry, thirsty, hurting, bound, sick people who need Jesus. And I pray, Father, that this church will be a light in a dark place. Father, that others will know this is the place to go, that they'll find the Savior here. And Father, I just pray that the lost be saved here, be born again, that lives be changed forever. And Lord, we pray that you send workers to the field. I pray, Father, that you would just put a holy dissatisfaction on us, Lord, that we, like the Apostle Paul, grieve for those that are lost, that those that don't know, that those that are struggling on day after day in their loneliness, their despair and hopelessness, in their pain and their bondage, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you put a passion in the heart of the workers to go. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Lord, we're believing you for it. Believing you for it, Lord. We pray in agreement tonight and ask you, Father, that you would do it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, as we conclude our service tonight, I just want to leave you with this. If you need prayer tonight, I believe Jesus is saying, come to those in need. And so if you need prayers, we dismiss. Just invite you to come. I, myself, and others would be glad to pray for you. Lord bless you. You're dismissed.